It's the 9th of May, and I'm interviewing today Cyril Arnold Rowe. Great friend, been in Hawke's Bay for many, many years, and indeed a privilege to be able to have a talk with you today, Dick, as I call you. I think you've been known as Dick as long as I can remember as well. He was with TMV Wines, which was Tumata Vineyards, for many, many years. And that's how I got to know him in the early days. Good afternoon, Dick.
Welcome.
Can I start on this? My mother came from Birmingham, England. She had one brother, that's all. My father came from Cornwall. It was a large family. I'm not too sure how many. I think we worked on the land before he came to New Zealand, and both parents came to New Zealand back in the last century.
That'll be the 18...
In the late 80s and 90s they came out here. They married in New Zealand. My mother worked for Bernard Chambers, which was alongside the TMV cellars. That's where my father met her. I think she was the governess there. They left Tomato, why I don't know. They went to Auckland and he was a groundsman at one of the parks there. And then 2 or 3 years later, he came back and they spent the rest of their life at Tomato.
And how many children did they have? Or how many brothers and sisters did
they have? I had one brother, two sisters. There was girl, boy, boy, girl. And they are all dead.
You're the only survivor.
I reckon the skinny ones live the longest.
Dick, you met your wife where?
Met life in Hastings. She was a hairdresser, worked in the saloon there, and I actually met her at the hairdresser saloon.
Then you got married?
Married in the English church in Havelock.
Oh, St Luke's?
Yeah, St Luke's. Brought a property, the old golf house at Tomato. Brought that property. Lived there till about 1964-65. Built a place up at Tanui Drive in Havelock. Sold that, came here, and been here since 1970.
My friend John Duncan, he was in that golf house.
John brought that place.
He bought it from you.
That's right.
We had some great parties in there. You looked after it well.
Yeah. He burned it down.
I remember then. I remember the night it burnt down.
Yeah. Oh, John was a bit of a... He's quite a player, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. Great friend of mine, as it turned out in the long run. Children?
Yeah. One girl, one boy. I don't know their... If you want, I can whistle up the watch, you know. Daughter still in New Zealand, son in Australia.
Your daughter's name?
Sally Ann. Son, Richard John. Daughter had two children, two daughters. Son had one boy.
Now, you're growing up in Hawke's Bay?
Lived in Hawke's Bay, apart from the war years. I had... It sticks in my mind. 3 years, 286 days I served in the armed forces.
Which one?
New Zealand forces.
Army?
Yeah, army. We were they called us the glamour boys. We went to England. We were due to go east, but Dunkirk was knocking around. I think they shot us to England. I think we were too late. Right. Then we went out east to Cairo. Then we went to the big country in the Mediterranean. The great Greek shop owners.
Oh,
Greece. Went to Greece. And from Greece, went to Crete. Went back then to the desert. Did Alamein, right through the desert, right at the top. Came back. Went up through Syria, up to the Turkish border. Came back and then the furlough started. And I was one of the unlucky buggers that didn't draw marble. I had to stay in Cairo until the boys that had come home on furlough came back because they mutinied here and they didn't come back.
What position did you hold in the army?
I ended up a corporal.
Corporal Rowe?
Yeah. The only reason I took the stripes was because I had to stay in Cairo until the Don Lee boys came back. And it was 1 in 6 a day, not much. So I said to the commanding officer, what about a stripe? So he gave me one, and then we were that the bloody log. He gave me another one. So as far as any rank, no interest. I was mainly a driver.
And then after the war, you came back?
I came back. Served with my father for a couple of years. He had a heart attack. I took over running TMB.
What was your father's name?
Thomas John.
And he was running TMB for the Toogoods?
Yep. It was owned by a Wellington crowd.
And did the Toogoods buy it from the Wellington crowd?
No, Toogoods married the owner's daughter. And Warren came in as managing director, and how they tied it up, I don't know. As far as the ownership, I was in charge of it. I made the wine, I ran the vineyard, I virtually ran the show, but they did the office.
And then there was Alric, wasn't there?
Alric, yes.
And what are the major brands that you had? We were talking about it before.
Well, we used to make a Madeira and a Sherry all those.
You know, these days you don't hear of Madeira and Sherry and...
No, you see, I don't know anything about the wine today. Not a thing. Right. You see, my day it was all fortified wine.
And so you spent virtually your whole life there?
Toogoods then started what we used to call the apple factory. Well, then I was running them both. I was a winemaker for both. And finally, I cut the string when TMV was sold to...
John Buck?
No, before that. There was a bloke, I can't think of his name. But I think he was only going to strip it. And then that's when Buck came in. And then I was full-time with Toogood to have a look. They built a factory there.
And did you spend any time with John Buck?
No. Now, I was well out of it before Buck came.
Dick, did you play any sport?
Not much, a bit at school, but when I left school, we were too busy trying to make a bob.
What school were you at?
Havelock Primary and then Hastings High. In those days, you know, you look back. Now, we had to walk or bike, or there's no buses or anything from Tomato to high school was a fair walk.
Some rode horses and...
Yeah.
And what other interests did you have?
Not much in the younger years. After the war, when I came back, I got very interested in vintage cars. I had quite a number of them. I reckon I had the best. I had a Rolls Royce, I had a Daimler, and I had a Bentley.
You had the best, all right. Didn't play around with the rubbish, did you?
No. And then I went from four wheels to... I got terribly interested in motorbikes. I've still got, I think it's 8 or 9 motorbikes in the shed.
Macs?
Yeah, Matsless, Beezers and
got an
Aerials.
Indian? Got an Indian in there?
No, got no Yankee stuff. All Pommy. Bar, there's one Japanese bike. And I used to point out to people... come into the shed, and I said, what do you notice? And they'd say, I don't know. And I said, you look underneath all those bikes, under all the English bikes, there was a heap of oil, where they all leaked oil. In the Japanese, there wasn't a drop.
Now, you must have done some travelling in your time, been overseas?
Never. I swore when I came back from the war, I'd never read it. This is the best country in the world. I'd never leave New Zealand, and I never have. Never wanted to. I used to tour either the North or South Island once a year on the bike. There was a crowd of us we used to. That's what I can't understand, Jim, is people. It's the first thing they want to do is rush overseas. They haven't even seen their own country.
Did you match up with your biking with Don Hembro or Don Burgess? from her?
Bird, yeah, yeah. Rode with Burgess lots of times. Rallied with him.
He's got a number of motorbikes.
Yeah, he was keen. Actually, he did a trip right around the outside of Australia.
And you've had a pretty healthy life.
Yep.
You've kept yourself fit. What I want to ask you is, I used to see you walking the streets of Hastings, down fair walk from here, into Heratonga Street, and I used to see you down near the Catholic Church, down there, walking along with a crooked stick. That's now, right. There must be a story behind that crooked stick.
Well, yes, I started to... My right leg started to give me a bit of trouble, and I was walking. I used to walk every day for at least 3 hours. I'd go here to Stortford, to the boundary on it, to Havelock and Batter. And that's when I bought a straight walking stick. And I was walking, and I saw a bloke with a proper curly stick, a beauty. It fascinated me. So I said to him, and I kept looking round through trees and so on, until I got onto the right tree, and that was the weeping willow, twisted willow. And then I used to look in my walks. If I saw a twisted willow tree, I'd knock on the door of the place and ask them, could I have such and such a branch? I used to cut it out. And I made walking sticks here for, must have been 7 or 8 years.
So that's how it started, and you just...
That's how it started,
and you picked the best one out of them all?
Yeah, well, that's a favourite.
My word. Wish I had a camera to take a photo of that. Simple, isn't it?
Yeah, all it is. I used to have to steam some of them. You know, the twist was right, but it wasn't straight, so I'd have to steam it to straighten it. And then I'd have to steam it and quite often bend the handle. But no, not only that, Jim... It gave me a great talking point. That was, I think, that interested me more than anything, is that people would stop me and say, where did you get the stick? You know, otherwise, an old man walking around, nobody wouldn't know you.
Yep, you're quite right. Well, I mean, that's how I knew that you were walking down the street when I saw that stick. So I knew that stick row all right. So you've got a fair number of them, and of course, taking them away from neighbours as well, more friends that you made, and they wanted to know all about it. And what are some of the interesting things that you can remember about Hastings? It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Oh, big change. When I first started work, I worked for a farmer just down the road from where we lived, and I used to drive a horse and cart with the pigs to the market, to Old Gordon Walker. I can remember that, Hastings.
Yes.
But you don't seem to take much... You've got your own sphere of sort of, you know, what you're doing and your friends and so on. It's just a pity you don't take more notice of, because you don't realise that all that's going to be gone. See, that in those days, it was a very, very narrow world to start with. The road wasn't even bitumen from Havelock to Hastings. And very, very few cars. And those that did have cars, Dad didn't take it to work or anything. The car was just brought out on a nice weekend to take the family out. And now, Mum, Dad, the kids, they've all got motor cars.
Yes, they have. They pick the kids up from school. Nowadays, we had to walk to school.
At the earthquake, I was at the Havelock North Swimming Baths, and it had a very, very high brick wall in the front. And there was, I think, about 3 classes of us in the swimming bath, some getting in the... I'm wrong, there was none in the bath. We'd only got there, but we were undressing. And the wall, fortunately, just flopped straight out like that. The swishing of the water damn near half-emptied the swimming bath as the quake got swinging. But I didn't... The family wouldn't let us come to town. We lived in the wash house for about a week, and then we went back inside. And on the cottage we were in, the chimney just fell out.
The baths in the same place as what they are now?
Same place they are now, yep.
They've just developed all that area and made it a playground.
Yes. As long as I can remember, the baths were always there. I can't remember, but the story is that it was dug out with a horse and a scoop. But the domain was always there, but it was the school's playground. I don't know if you remember the school.
We played cricket on it a lot too, on the cricket pavilion. And that's all been moved around, and there's a playground for kids there in the front there, very nice too. Dick, food, all changed now? Packets of food, whereas before it was all out of the garden, wasn't it?
Right. We grew our food. Dad used to have I suppose it was an eighth of an acre, and he used to hand dig it. And as soon as he came home from work, into the garden, weekends spent in the garden, and grow all our vegetables. Well, there wasn't the money and there wasn't the shops. Bread used to be delivered. Thompson, the butcher, used to deliver our meat once a week. Alec Fraser was the baker in Havelock. He used to horse and cart, and he used to deliver the bread.
The postman?
No, too far. I can remember, I can't think of his name, farmer at Maratotra, coming in, bringing his wool in once a year. He'd be on the great big four-wheel wooden wagon. There'd be, about 4 or 5 bales high.
Yeah.
And he used to stop at the crossroads at Tomato. First day from home to there, he'd sleep there, then he'd hitch up, and the second day he'd get to Hastings. I remember clambering up on these wool bales, which were ride to school, in the front of these lovely, I think it was 8 great big Chesdale horses. Took him 2 days to get to town, and he used to backload chaff for the horses. He'd spend a week just bringing the wool and getting the shit home again.
Trying to think of a name that would have done that.
Rigger. Jack Rigger was his son. Jack was a great woodcutter.
So over the years you've kept pretty good health?
Yeah, good health. Once in hospital, we're coming back from the car races at Ardmore. Went over the bank, broke a rib, in the hospital for that. And brief, in the last 10 years I had something, I don't know what it was, they cut a lump out of my throat. And I've had one eye done, that's about it.
Kept very, very well. Mind you, all that walking you did.
I put it down to walking.
Yeah, three hours a day. Yeah.
Well, I must have been, virtually I retired at 55. And then I got sick of that. I went and worked for Webster's Lime. I must have stopped work altogether when I was about 70. And I walked up till being 95, perhaps, up to then. And I put that down, I've worn my hip out.
Yes. There was Bruce Webster and his brother. Bruce was in the cars, wasn't he?
Yeah, I used to always went with Bruce. He had a... To start with, he bought a Cooper, and that was a very early Cooper. It was more or less just a pipe frame with double knocker Norton motor on. And then he took the Norton motor out and brought a Porsche industrial motor and put that in. And I think that car still holds the Tianapu Hill Climb record.
I must ask his son, Richard, who's my next-door neighbour.
Oh, you're in Havelock?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Owen...
Owen Denton.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know Havelock very well then.
Been there 32 years. And did you do any car racing? Oh, Angus Hislop used to go too, didn't he?
Well, yeah, Angus went overseas.
Yeah.
He was actually the best driver of New Zealand. The scheme was they get all these young ones and train them, and the one that wins the most races in a particular year, well, the organisation send him overseas. Yeah, he had a D-type Jag first, and then he ended up being imported in overseas.
He was in the Le Mans or something, 24-hour race with Denny Holm, was he?
Yeah, Denny, he was on the same scheme. He went over and they had to, I think they were given a lump sum, and that was for Danny, of course, became world champion.
Yes, he did. So you've seen a fair bit of life, wonderful life. And you look at all the changes around, you wonder where everything's going.
I don't understand. The drugs and the booze. Sure, we had booze and we played up. But hey, we respected our elders. But you knock an old woman down, and it's bloody terrible. I blame the bloody women after Tom.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear about that.
As soon as they took the strap away.
Oh, yeah, gone.
You know, it's just too easy for kids now. You know that you can't touch them.
Mind you, we were cheeky little buggers. I remember when I finished at Standard 6 at Havelock, we had a pretty hard headmaster, and he had a long strap and used to love to get it up your arm. So on the last day at school, I nicked his strap. And I took it down to the village after at school out, and I took the bits back to him, and I said, stitch them together if you can.
Ooh, Dick, so under the cover of leaving school.
Yeah.
You know? And what sport did you play when you went to boys' high school? Did you play rugby?
Yeah, I played a bit of rugby. Sorry, but I wasn't very keen on cricket. How would you like to be playing today, Jim?
Wonderful, wouldn't it? The money.
They're mad. Listen, they're not playing ball, they're playing the man.
You're dead right, they're playing
it's
the man.
Shocking.
Yeah, that's why all these injuries now, yeah. it's just...
But you can see the hate in the bowler's eyes. You know, sitting here, there's nothing else if it's cricket on, well, I watch cricket. Yeah, right. But I can't understand the absolute hate.
We tackled around the ankles, and the ball was let go, and it went flowing out to the... The backs were lined up like that, and there were the forwards there, so the back line could work, but now they're right up like this and just bang, bang, bang into each other.
It's knock him down. Yeah. And not only knock him down, kick him.
And I look at the rugby league players, and I just...
Well, that's a stupid game.
Looking in the paper this morning, they get $20,000 to be in the test side, then they lose... by 30 points to something or other, they still get their $20,000 for being a member of the... They should play it on... If you win, you get paid.
And they're figureheads for the younger generation. Yeah. And then the younger generation pick up the paper and drugs, booze, fight. You know, your day, Jim, younger generation looked up to you. You know, young fella keen in cricket, you know... All he could talk was Jimmy Rugan and made 100 runs, did this and did that.
They did?
No, I'm quite happy to march on out of this world.
So am I.
Well, you've got, what, another 20 years?
I don't know whether the kids would want me around in 20 years' time.
Well, got nothing to do with them.
Well, this has been a very, very good chat.
Pretty common life.
I want to thank you very much on behalf of the Knowledge Bank for allowing me to interview you.
Well,
I'm pleased.
I'm pleased to have somebody to talk to.
The knowledge that's in Hawke's Bay is just amazing. It is amazing. Well, I'll terminate this talk now in thanking Dick, as I knew him, but it's Arnold Cyril Rowe, and thank him very much indeed. And all the very best. And I hope you hit that 100 mark. Okay, thanks, Luke.